accepts my apologies." She smiled like an angel, and he looked confused, probably unsure about her honeyed voice and unnecessary apology. "Mr. Hanzo, what do you think is the most important part of a child's development?" He cleared his throat and spoke in a gruff voice. "That's simple. Boys need discipline, or they'll never respect their elders."
"I see." Pearl observed him closely. "And how do you instill discipline in your students?"
He grinned and lifted his right hand. "Meet Mr. Because I Said So," and then he lifted his left hand up. "And Mr. Don't Talk Back to Me." Her brows lowered, and the left side of her upper lip lifted in disdain.
"Thank you, I have no more questions," she said, and gave me a pointed stare.
I shrugged and smiled at the older man, who had performed according to my expectations. "You can go, Hanzo." The next candidate was 75, and the oldest mentor in the Northlands. Half deaf and too proud to admit it, he had the same grumpy old bastard expression on his face as the last time I saw him 10 years ago. Before he even made it close enough for a conversation, Pearl shook her head at me.
"You're doing this on purpose," she accused.
"I have no idea what you're talking about," I said innocently.
"These aren't serious contenders for the job, and you're doing it just to be sure I'll pick this Archer guy." Her tone radiated blame.
"Mentor Luther King is a very wise and respected man in the Northlands," I insisted.
"Luther King?"
She looked away, but I thought I caught a small eye roll.
"Lord Khan,"
Mentor King approached me and respectfully bowed his head. "Mentor King, may I introduce you to Councilwoman Pearl Pelody? She will be asking you a few questions."
"What did you say?"
He placed a hand behind his ear. I pointed to Pearl, who stood 5 feet away with her hands folded in front of her. Mentor King's bushy eyebrows sank so low I couldn't see his eyes anymore.
"A woman,"
he said with clear distaste, and looked back at me.
"I didn't know you got married."
"I didn't," I corrected him.
"Then who is her master?"
he asked.
"No one is my master,"
Pearl said loud and clear. Mentor King shook his head and kept his eyes on me.
"A woman should always have a master. They are senseless beings worse than children, too sensitive and irrational for their own good."
He gave her another once-over.
"But at least they are good for one thing. Is that why you have her?"
"What thing would that be?" I asked, hiding my amusement at the pink color on Pearl's face. For a pacifist, she looked close to hitting the old man.
"I assume she's here to breed you an heir," he said matter-of-factly.
I walked over and patted his shoulder. "What an intriguing idea, but she's already past 30. I think women run out of eggs around 25. I would need someone young and fresh to breed my sons."
"Yes, you're right,"
King said and looked up at me.
"What did you want to ask me?"
"Oh, right." I swung my hand to Pearl. "What was it you wanted to know?"
"I've already heard enough," Pearl said, pushing her jaw out.
"Good. Then that would be all for now, Mentor King. Thank you for coming," I told the old man. As soon as he was out of earshot, Pearl walked closer and scolded me.
"Don't tell me those men are allowed near children."
"What? They're some of our finest mentors." She scoffed.
"If that's true, then you are in a serious need of upgrades."
"You said you wanted someone experienced," I argued, and pointed back at the manor, where Hanzo and King were returning. "I gave you men with experience."
"You better pray that Archer is more human and less sexist, or this project will be dropped faster than you can say inclusion project."
"Archer is the best," I assured her with a smile. "Thank you, I agree completely," a male voice from behind me said. Pearl lifted her gaze and looked at Archer over my shoulder, while I looked at her. My gut was wrenched with the way her eyes expanded and her features softened in interest.
"Welcome," she exclaimed and pushed past me, walking straight into Archer's personal space, taking his hands and glaring into his eyes with a smile. My hands formed into fists at the way the two of them stood like lovers discovering each other for the first time.
"May peace surround you,"
Pearl said, and her voice sounded downright seductive to me.
"Yeah, same to you," Archer said, and smiled widely before he ran the few steps to me. "Thank you, Lord. I can't believe you delivered this quickly and such an exquisite beauty. I'm a lucky man."
He looked back at Pearl, who was still smiling.
"She's not your wife," I said, too harshly.
"No,"
Pearl chuckled.
"No, I'm not. What gave you that idea?"
While Archer's face fell in disappointment, I explained to Pearl, "Archer felt cheated in the last tournament, and to appease him, I promised that he wouldn't have to fight in the next one."
"I'm so sorry to disappoint you."
Pearl tilted her head with sympathy.
"If it's any consolation, you're the best-looking Enman I've seen here."
Flames shot up my spine, and I wanted to smack my hand into his pretty face. "Ha!" I snorted. "That's because he looks like a fucking teenager with that stubble. Why not grow a decent beard, man?" Archer rubbed his chin. "I like it this way, and I'm certainly no teen." His eyes shot suggestively to Pearl, who looked down like a shy virgin. What the fuck is going on? "Ask him your fucking questions instead of flirting with him," I boomed at her. She blinked, but finally managed her first question.
"Archer, what do you think is the most important part of your job?"
"Well," he shifted his balance and thought about it. "Every boy is different, and they have different needs. I've realized that to treat them equally well, I have to treat them differently."
"Interesting perspective. Could you elaborate?" Pearl said.
"Well, I'll give you an example," he said. "I have one of my boys who is insecure and overthinking things. I'm constantly trying to push him out of his comfort zone and encourage him to be more spontaneous, while at the same time I'm trying to rein in Jared and Eric, who would jump over a cliff just to see how that would feel. My job is to help the boys live up to their full potential without getting killed in the process."
"Wonderful."
Pearl clapped her hands together and moved closer to Archer. From the way his lips spread and his eyes fell down to her lips, I could guess what he wanted to do more than anything. I had wanted to do the same thing hundreds of times.
"Archer," Pearl said, "let me give you a theoretical question. If you were to teach a group of girls from the Motherlands, how would you ensure that they too could reach their full potential?"
"Girls?" he frowned.
"Yes, little girls."
"I don't know shit about girls." He looked to me for help.
"Are you curious about them?"
Pearl asked with an angelic smile that matched the way the sun danced on her blonde hair like a goddamn halo.
"I'm more curious about women," he replied with the charm laid on and tested my patience.
Pearl ignored his comment and asked, "Do you beat your boys?"
"Sometimes, if the situation calls for it, but it's not my preferred form of discipline."
"Would you hit a girl if you were her teacher?"
He rubbed his forehead like her question hurt his head and looked to me for help again. I shrugged, signaling he was on his own.
"Oh, no, I don't think I would. I would find other ways of disciplining her."
"Like what?"
Pearl asked softly.
"Depends on the situation."
"Do you think women are as capable as men?"
There was a flirtatious grin on Archer's lips when he looked down and kicked some dirt with his foot.
"Again, it depends what specific skill set we're talking about. I believe there are areas where women are superior to men."
Her whole fucking face lit up, and she exclaimed,
"You do?"
"Of course. For one, our reproductive system isn't quite as magical as yours, nor can we produce milk to feed babies."
Pearl's lips became a thin line, and she folded her arms.
"So that's all women are good at? Making babies?"
Archer took time before he answered.
"It's possible that women are as capable as men, but
I wouldn't know, since I haven't had the pleasure of studying one up close. Smooth talker, I mumbled softly, and pressed my heel against the cotton tree that I was leaning against.
No, I suppose you haven't.
Pearl tapped her lips and paced a bit before she made up her mind and turned to him.
Lord Khan has mentioned you to run an experimental project, and I'm here to approve of his choice.
What kind of experiment? Archer asked and leaned back.
A school class consisting of children from both sides of the border, 10 envoys and 10 children from the Motherlands.
10 girls? He asked in disbelief.
No, it would be a mix of boys and girls from our side, I think. We don't know yet, as this is just an idea.
Okay, he nodded, interested, and I stepped in. The whole thing would have to be secret until we know how it goes, and that means you and the children would be somewhere isolated. Uh-huh. You would pick 10 boys. The other 10 will be selected by the Momsies. Will I be alone with 20 children night and day?
No.
Pearl held up a hand.
We're working on a solution, but until we have the final plans ready, we can't reveal more.
I'll need at least 2 assistants, Archer said. We'll make sure you're not alone, I assured him. The question is, would you be interested? Archer grinned. Hell yeah, that sounds epic. I would love to study little girls and see what they're like in real life. Pearl nodded with satisfaction.
Good. Then we shall continue with our plans and get back to you soon.
How soon? Archer asked excitedly. Pearl and I exchanged a glance.
Hopefully very soon, she said with a smile.
Chapter 8 Tied Together Khan. My days with Pearl were both amazing and torturous. Sometimes we played chess and had deep and long conversations about politics and life. Other times I felt like I was slowly losing my mind. I had seen Christina and Boulder together, and was disappointed that Pearl didn't show any interest in me physically. There were days when I was tempted to appoint a different protector for her, because it was too hard to be close to her and not be able to touch her. Maybe that's why I sometimes bullied her. Her constant rejection of sleeping in my bed made me get back at her in other ways, mostly when she beat me in chess, became too argumentative, called me a pervert, or refused to sit quietly in my office while I worked. I would get in her space and say demeaning things to her, reminding her of her place as a hostage. In all fairness, it didn't take much to get under her skin, with her being such a damn softy to begin with. Telling myself it was necessary to instill fear in her, I justified my behavior and praised myself for behaving like a gentleman at night when my body was screaming for me to drag her to the bed and lose myself inside her. It had been 54 days since Pearl had arrived. My brother wanted me to set a deadline with the council, but I wasn't ready to kill or torture Pearl if they failed to deliver Laura back. Although it had never occurred to me that Pearl would be staying with us this long, we had fallen into a daily routine, with me working and her reading in the corner of my office. When I had meetings, I sent her into my suite and had the guards make sure no one entered or left. Unfortunately, I had postponed many of my duties as a ruler, and it was long overdue for me to take up the traveling that I usually did. On this particular day, I looked up, expecting to see Pearl sitting in her favorite spot by the window, reading a book. She wasn't there. Getting up from my chair, I called her name with an uneasy feeling spreading quickly through my nervous system. Magni, did he get to her? My brother had woken me up at 3 a.m. this morning, admitting that he'd been to the Motherlands again, searching for Laura without success. He had looked more broken than ever, and I knew he was unhinged. Has he harmed Pearl? My heart was hammering like it was trying to escape my body and go search for her. Pearl was my responsibility. I was her protector. With a burning throat and a head spinning out of control, I slammed open the door to my office and shouted for my guards.
For 54 days, I'd managed to keep Pearl and Magni separated, but one thing was certain, he was no longer the man I had known. Before Laura's disappearance, he had been respected as the greatest warrior in our country. Now he was nothing but a sad joke. People were laughing at him and pointing fingers, saying he was so bad in bed that his wife ran away to be with a momsy boy. There was no greater insult, and it had become impossible for Magni to go out without things ending in fights constantly. If Pearl ran into Magni without me to protect her, I wasn't sure how far he would take his interrogation of her. He might hurt her badly to get his answers. "Find her!" I roared at the guards and ran to our private chambers. Pearl wasn't there either, nor was she in the kitchen or Boulder's room. I barged into Magni's room and gave a sigh of relief when I found him sprawled on the bed, snoring. "Where the fuck is she?" A guard came running up the stairs just as I exited Magni's room. "The councilwoman is in the garden," he exclaimed. "Do you want me to get her for you?" "No, I'll get her myself," I barked, and took the steps two at a time. Pearl looked completely untroubled when I found her kneeling down and smelling some flowers while talking to a gardener. "Are you completely insane?" I roared at her, my voice steady but my heart trembling. She looked back at me and sighed. "How many times did I tell you that I can't keep you safe if you leave my side? And what the fuck are you doing talking to him for?" I pointed to the older gardener, who looked absolutely mortified. "Calm down, Lord Khan," she said, and rose to her full height. "I was bored, so I went to get some fresh air, and I had questions about these flowers." "Come here." In my anger, I grabbed her wrist and forced her with me. "You're hurting me," she complained behind me, but I was beyond caring and pushed her into a corner where a few hedges made for privacy. A gardener who had been trimming the hedges scurried away and left his equipment behind in his hurry. "I warned you. Do you want me to fucking chain you, huh?" She tried pulling out of my tight grasp. "No." "Is that what it takes for you to get into your head that you're not safe unless you're with me?" "No." She pressed her lips together. Still holding her wrist in an iron grip, I bent down and picked up a flexible organizer from the gardener's supply box. "You know what? Until you accept that you follow me and not the other way around, I'll fucking tie you to my side." "You wouldn't dare," Pearl breathed in indignation and tried to stop me when I wrapped the large band around us and pressed the Flexi logo on the side. The Flexi band adjusted in size, squeezing us together. "There, now you're not going anywhere," I declared. Pearl was a head smaller than me, and the band that sat around my hips reached around her belly. It didn't hurt me, so I assumed it didn't hurt her either. We were fighting about her reckless behavior when Christina and Boulder interrupted us. We probably looked like two crazy people tied together like that, but I didn't care. My biggest concern at the moment was that I needed to keep the infuriating, argumentative blonde next to me safe, and if it took teaching her a lesson that she would never forget, then I was man enough to do it. "What's going on?" they asked with amusement. "I'm sick and tired of her running away," I stated firmly. "I can't protect her when she constantly wanders off, and I have important work to do."
"He wanted to chain me like a dog," Pearl cried out. "Like a dog."
"But I didn't, did I?" She pointed to the Flexi band.
"Oh, so you think this is any better?"
"At least now I can keep track of you, and if I'm not moving, you don't move either." Pearl clicked her tongue and crossed her arms.
"This is absolutely ridiculous. I demand that you let me go immediately."
"No." Behind my word was an iron will, and even though this punishment had been spontaneous, I already smiled internally at the thought that tonight she would be sleeping in my bed, tied to me.
"Well," she snorted lightly, "you'll have to eventually. How else do you suggest we shower and do other things?"
"No," I said again, my tone sharp enough that she would know I was dead serious. Pearl visibly paled. Tell him he's insane, she pleaded with Boulder.
Con, you're insane, Boulder said, chuckling, and started talking about his and Magni's search for Laura in the Motherlands.
Yes, we heard, Pearl knitted her brows closely together, and I demand to know how you crossed the border last night. It's a major breach of Motherland's safety, and it shouldn't be possible.
Despite my fury with Pearl, a small part of me appreciated how changed she was from when she first arrived. The annoying, soft, almost whispering voice she'd had when she first came was long gone, and it was a mystery to me how she could have hidden such a fierce temperament under that facade of control to begin with. Pearl wasn't meant to limit herself, and seeing her point her index finger at Boulder with indignation amused me. The man was at least a head taller than her and exuded raw strength. I had seen Enmen intimidated by Boulder, but not Pearl.
We have invisible drones that your detectors don't see, Boulder told Pearl with a straight face. We cross as often as we please, we just never told you. But since it looks like you're not going anywhere soon, I guess there's no reason to hide it from you.
Invisible drones? Pearl turned to look at me. Is that true?
I gave her my best poker face, revealing nothing, although it was absolute nonsense and more proof of her naivete.
How long are you going to keep Pearl trapped like that? Christina asked me.
That's no one's business but mine, I said grumpily, still pissed after being scared out of my mind.
It's my business, too, since I'm forced to be close to you. And just so you know, Pearl said and wrinkled her nose up, you smell.
Yeah? I lifted my arm and sniffed my armpit. Oh, it's not that bad, but if you'd like, we could go and shower right now. To freak her out, I took a step forward, and that made her dig her heels in.
No! She shrieked. No, no, no!
I don't think she wants to shower with you, Boulder laughed. But to me, it was the perfect way to teach her once and for all that I was in control.
Pearl. I protested when Khan dragged me from the garden back into the manor. I'm not a child. I'm a 33-year-old woman. Tied together, I couldn't get away from him. And it seemed to be no great strain for him to lift me up by my waist and walk with me. His guards looked the other way when I asked them to help me, but the whole time I was sure he was only doing it to scare me. There was no way he would actually insist on our being tied together for very long. He had told me often enough that I was crazy, naive, and insufferable. Really, he should have been grateful that I gave him a break once in a while when I wandered off. But no, Khan was pissed, and resolutely walked into the bathroom with me lifted from the floor, and only let me down when we stood right outside the shower unit. Let me go, I repeated. Not a fucking chance, he said in a low growl. Stop, what are you doing? I closed my eyes and counted in my head when Khan pulled his shirt free from the flexiband. This may surprise you, but we don't shower with our clothes on in the Northlands, he said, and tugged the shirt over his head. I'd never been this close to him before, and certainly not when he was almost naked. With my eyes closed, it was like my other senses took over, and his masculine fragrance filled my nostrils. Men from the Motherlands preferred sweet perfumes, but Khan had a clean, masculine scent with a hint of leather, lime, and sandalwood that should repulse me. But it didn't. Squinting an eye open, I saw him adjusting the band to take his pants off. You're not actually going to get completely naked, are you? I asked with my pulse racing. I am, and so are you, he said pragmatically. Both my eyes opened and I gave him my hardest stare. It's not funny, Khan. Funny? He looked royally pissed. You think I found it funny wasting my time running around looking for you, or worrying if Magni got to you before I did? I huffed out air in surrender, and held up my palms to placate him while leaning as far back as the band would allow me. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have left without telling you, and it was very nice of you to worry about me. You shouldn't have left, period, he said and looked down at my blouse. Now take off your clothes. No! I refused and saw stubborn resolve in his eyes.
It wasn't a suggestion, but a goddamn order, he said and pushed down his briefs.
My face turned crimson red, knowing that Khan was now completely naked next to me. Fisting my hands by my side, I looked up. Don't look down, don't look down, I told myself. It wasn't that I hadn't seen naked men before, because we were relaxed about nudity in the Motherlands, and considered it a natural thing. It was that Khan was doing this to dominate me, and I resented his show of force. Also, there was the small fact that Khan was very different from the men I'd seen naked, and that on occasion he had made me feel things I didn't want to feel. Adjusting the flexi band again, he grabbed onto my hips and moved me to his front. It happened so fast that I didn't have a chance to fight it before we were standing face to face, with my belly against his hard front. I gasped out loud and tried to take a step back, but I was stuck.
Last chance to take off your clothes, he challenged.
And when I didn't react, he backed me into the shower, fully dressed. Khan, I... My otherwise eloquent tongue was in knots.
You said I smelled,
he said, as if the whole thing was tedious and boring to him. You don't smell, I said quickly. And you made your point. I promise that I won't wander off. Just don't turn on the water, I rambled.
Shower, turn water on. Make it warm and play music.
Khan pursed his lips as water came from five angles, his smug smile telling me that he enjoyed being in control and putting me in my place.
Ah,
he moaned, and leaned back his head, lifting his arms and massaging his scalp with his eyes closed. He had dark hair under his armpits, something that everyone in the Motherlands had removed before they finished puberty. It was a visual reminder that Khan wasn't a sweet, gentle Motlander. He was a purebred man of the North, and on top of that he was their leader. An alpha male if there ever was one. The music that played softly did nothing to calm my racing heart.
Now get naked,
he said and wiped water from his face. I won't take off my clothes, I insisted firmly.
Yes, you will.
His answer was short and non-negotiable.
Either you undress or I'll do it for you.
You gave me your word, I reminded him harshly.
I never said I wouldn't undress you.
But you said... He cut me off.
Have I beaten you?
No, but you dragged me.
So that's a no? Have I raped you?
No, but this is bordering on... He shook his head and placed both hands on each side of my face, forcing my head back to meet his eyes.
I'm not going to fuck you, Pearl.
Enjoying my gasp in response to his crude word, he hovered above me with his lips almost touching mine.
Unless you want me to.
His question came out in a raspy whisper. If I had an Adam's apple, mine would have been bobbing in my throat as I struggled to find my voice.
Do you?
He asked, low and seductive.
Want me to fuck you?
No, I stammered, completely out of my element.
So I guess Archer is more your type, huh?
Archer? I had found Archer charming and sympathetic, but he wasn't my type. I didn't have a type. When I didn't confirm or deny his question, his jaw hardened, and his hands lifted my shirt.
Take off your clothes.
There was a bitter undertone to his voice. No, I repeated, my hands trying to stop him.
Fine, then I will,
he said and tore my shirt completely off me, strong and determined in his rough movements.
Smack!
The sound of my palm hitting his wet face rang out loud in the shower, and he turned his chin away from me. It was such a gross violation of my moral values to hit someone. I was shocked that I even had it in me. I only did it in self-defense. I justified it in my own head. But then he slowly looked back at me, and the expression in his eyes made my blood swirl like a cyclonic wind. Oh, no.
Careful,
he threatened. And with a hard jerk, he pulled at my pants, slamming my chest back into his hard body. I was covering my naked breasts with my hands and feeling the warmth of his body on the back of them. Again, he jerked at my pants to get the wet fabric down. Luckily, it was glued to my skin, which made it difficult for him. Covering my chest with one arm, I used the other hand to push at his hands, and when that didn't help, I used both hands. That made Khan pause, lean back, and look down at my now naked breasts.
Your tits are bigger than I thought.
Stop staring at me, I demanded, and wiped the water pouring down on me from my face. But Khan didn't stop. He continued jerking my pants down and now had them to my mid-thighs.
I said stop it,
I cried out, pushing at his chest and twisting around to protect myself. That was a mistake. Now behind me, his deep groan reverberated in the shower, and he pressed me up against the shower wall, his arm around my waist and his mouth on my shoulder. We were no longer face to face, but having his erection pressed against my behind seemed to only excite him more. Khan growled a low, "Fuck," and slid his hands up to my hips, his fingers digging deep into my flesh.
"You promised,"
I cried out, not sure if my beating heart showed fear that he would rape me or arousal that this was actually happening. Ever since he had started masturbating openly, I had thought of Khan sexually. The forbidden books probably didn't help, and this scenario was mild compared to some of my sinful thoughts. Khan didn't answer. Instead, he pulled me with him a step back and bent me over him.
"Place your hands on the wall,"
he ordered, and made a low, pained sound when I slowly did. I could have fought him, but I didn't. Instead, I closed my eyes, shameful that my betraying body reacted with arousal, my skin tingling, my nipples aching for his touch.
"You have no idea,"
he muttered, and pressed against me again. Only this time his erection didn't slide against my cheeks, but down between them. I couldn't think straight because of my hormones going crazy and making me want to do unacceptable things like push back against him. The short, sobbing sound that escaped me when I surrendered to my desire saved me. Khan misinterpreted it as fear, and he pulled me back into his chest and spoke low into my ear.
"I want to fuck you so bad."
"Please," I whispered, still not sure if I was pleading for him to do it or to leave me alone. After 5 long breaths into my ear, Khan turned me around to face him. Searching my eyes with lustful fire in his dark brown ones, he spoke, low and husky.
"Say yes, Pearl,"
he whispered.
"Yes,"
boomed in my mind, but the sinful, irresponsible part of me was quickly overpowered by reason, manners, and inhibitions. "No," I breathed, and shot him an angry look for making me feel this illogical desire for him. Khan's fingers dug deeper into my hips, and he was tense, but eventually he released the flexi band and stepped back from me. I hesitated for a second, taking in the sight of him naked and aroused in front of me. His tattoos and muscles made me want to reach out and touch him, explore what his warm skin felt like. But the small distance between us felt massive as he watched me, guarded and impassive. "I'm sorry I left," I said quietly, my shoulders pulled forward and my hands covering my breasts.
"Yeah," he muttered. "I'm sorry too."
It wasn't clear to me what he was sorry for. Sorry for dragging me in here and getting me almost naked? Sorry that I had left his office and wasted his time? Khan activated the dryer function, and we didn't speak as the warm air hit us from all angles.
"Pearl,"
he said and grabbed my wrist when I started to leave. "Yes?" I looked back at him.
"No more running. You follow me,"
he said with his eyes narrowed.
"Not the other way around."
I stood motionless half in and half out of the shower.
"You got it?"
His solemn expression came off menacing and intimidating. "Yes, I got it," I said softly, and shook my wrist loose. Chapter 9. A Miracle. Pearl. I was delighted when Khan told me we were going to visit Boulder and Christina, who had moved out of the manor and into Boulder's estate on Victoria Island. escorted by 6 guards and 3 drones. I wondered if that was normal procedure for Khan, or if the security was because of me. Victoria Island was beautiful, and Boulder's large estate was something out of an old movie. Christina had told me about the place, and it was easy to see why she loved it so much here. The large house was like a modernized museum, and surrounded by gorgeous greenery and water. "How can this be his island?" I asked Christina when she gave me a tour. "He inherited it from his previous boss." "But this island isn't small." "I know." Christina took me up the elegant, old-fashioned staircase. "You have to see the view from up here." Large windows provided a stunning view of a pond nestled in between forest on both sides. It had rained this morning, making for the magical sight of blooming wildflowers, stretching to reach the morning sun, and moisture evaporating like steam into the air. "I can't believe how many nuances of green there are," I said, and took in everything, from the pale leaves on the cotton trees that looked almost yellow in the sun, to the bright colors of the ferns by the forest, and the darker wild grass that waved tall and welcoming in the summer breeze. "Do you see the swans?" Christina pointed. "Aren't they adorable? Boulder says that in the spring, thousands of frogs sing all night." "Yes, it's very beautiful here. And so secluded." Christina shrugged. "I don't mind. It's only a short flight to the mainland, and it's so peaceful out here." "But no one ever comes uninvited, do they?" "I don't think so. Only 3 other men live here."
"Who?"
"The 2 park rangers and Boulder's personal assistant, Max." Christina pointed to a detached building. "Max lives in that annex. He's nice enough, but I haven't met the 2 park rangers yet."
"What is their job?" I asked.
"Boulder says they keep his island safe and ensure that no one trespasses. He hunts with them sometimes." Her mouth turned downward and she looked away. Clearly his killing and eating animals was a sore subject.
"Are there any empty buildings on the island?" I asked casually.
"Yes, there's an old church and some cabins on the northern part of the island. Have you seen them?"
"No, why?"
Christina gave me a curious look.
"Khan and I have been talking about an experiment, and we're looking for the right place to conduct it."
Christina leaned against the window frame and played with the end of her braid.
"What kind of experiment?"
"I already told you that I'm interested in finding a way to influence the N-Men, and that my wish is for the Northlands to be included in the Motherlands one day. It's the only way to achieve true harmony in the world."
"Yeah, you told me," she said.
"We're planning to have a group of children from each side of the border come together for a cultural experiment." I gave her the full scope of the project.
"Wow," she said with eagerness in her eyes. "That's amazing, Pearl."
"Yes, it will be if we can pull it off. We already have the teacher from the Northlands. His name is Archer." Christina's eyes opened wide.
"Archer the mentor?"
"Yes," I smiled.
"Do you know him?"
"A little," she smiled.
"He's kind of cute."
"Cute?" I chuckled and shook my head. "Christina, you've been here too long if you start finding the N-Men cute. Archer is a giant with vulgar muscles and tattoos like the rest of them." She grinned and tugged a loose strand of hair behind her ears.
"I know, but I'm getting used to it and I'm starting to see its appeal. And Archer is definitely one of the most attractive ones. He's got pretty features like our men."
"He's nothing like our men," I objected. "The man is huge and extremely masculine. There's absolutely nothing pretty about him."
"Yeah, but at least he doesn't have a massive beard like Boulder did when I first met him. Archer is handsome, admit it."
"He's charming, I'll admit that much," I grinned. "But back to my experiment. He can't do it alone, and the council will need to find one of our most experienced teachers who can match him and work with him to create a curriculum that will serve both groups of children." Christina's hand flew out to grasp my arm, her eyes large.
"I know the perfect teacher."
"Who?" I asked.
"My best friend, Kaya Janae."
"She was your roommate, wasn't she?"
"Yes, and a really good teacher, too.
It's perfect since she specializes in kids with behavioral problems. Plus, we love each other and I could talk her into coming here. She frowned. Maybe. I mean, I could try at least. Honestly, I exclaimed, that would be a small miracle. Finding a teacher from the motherlands is the thing I suspect will be the hardest. Maybe if I tell her she'll be working with a hot N-man, Christina speculated. I covered my eyes with one hand for a moment. Christina? Yes? I don't think. I started, searching for the best way to say what I needed to say. That the promise of a hot N-man will bring her here. The mention of working with an N-man will terrify her. You're probably the only woman from the motherlands who think of them that way. I didn't used to, she said softly. But as I said, they grow on you, you know. I did know, but I wasn't ready to admit that. Archer thinks he'll be responsible for the project, and if we want to recruit a teacher from the motherlands, I think she needs to think that she is in charge, too. Once they're both here and have met each other, we'll break the news to them that they'll have to work together on equal terms. Okay, that makes sense? Yes, we can't risk scaring her away with too much information too soon, I said, and I really want this project to succeed. Christina was nodding her head with enthusiasm. Then Kaya is the perfect person for it. Her students love her, she's warm, funny, and wicked smart. That's wonderful. My chest was filling with excitement that maybe, just maybe, we could actually pull this off. But we still need the 10 children from the motherlands and a place for them to stay. I turned my head and looked out the large windows. Somewhere secluded and safe. Like here, she said with a wide smile. Maybe. I smiled back at her and turned to go back downstairs. We should go and talk to Boulder about it. Actually, Christina stopped me. I think we should let the men talk for a while. I have a feeling something is troubling them. My body stiffened. Khan has been very irritable lately, but I just figured he's tired of having me around. She shrugged, her eyes flickering and not meeting mine. You know something, I concluded. Guilt flashed her face. I'm not really a snoop, but sometimes I hear things in passing or walk in on Boulder having a conversation with someone. Yes? She lowered her voice to a whisper. I know how to access his correspondence. Correspondence? Yes. Yesterday he was writing constantly, and when I asked him who he was writing, he said Khan. I don't know why he wouldn't just record or dictate his messages except that he doesn't want me to hear them. I tapped my lip. Khan has been writing too. I suddenly wondered if I had been wrong in assuming he was being standoffish toward me these last days because of the shower incident. Maybe it had little to do with me, and involved something else entirely. I was ready to help you escape, Christina whispered. And if you want, I'm willing to help you look into Khan's correspondence with Boulder. My quick nod was all the encouragement Christina needed, and that made me suspect she was curious herself and just needed an excuse. Quite the little hacker, aren't you? I teased when she used her wristband to get into Boulder's private messages. We both read in silence. Khan.
What's the status on the assholes from the East Coast?
Boulder.
Something's brewing. My source says they want a hit now that Magni is down.
Khan.
Fuck. When? Where? Give me details.
Boulder.
Still waiting for more information. We'll tell you as soon as I know.
Khan.
I should just go myself and slap that fuck-up Edward around until he gets the ludicrous idea out of his sick mind that he can overthrow me. It's fucking treason, Boulder, and I need proof so we can cut his ugly head off.
Boulder.
Make sure to use a dull blade. The creep deserves a painful death.
Khan.
Damn right he does. If I didn't have to babysit, I would have gone already.
Boulder.
Bring Pearl here. We'll set the girls up with plenty of security, and you, me, Finn, Magni, and the others can go and burn their fucking house down. You can't stay home forever. They'll think you're afraid and hiding.
Khan.
Afraid? Huh. What a joke. I'm just trapped in my house because of her.
It was never supposed to last this long. Maybe it's time I assign my burden to someone else. I'm coming by tomorrow morning so we can discuss further.
Pearl? Christina looked at me with round eyes. This is good news. Maybe Khan will let you go. Ooh, I know. You could ask for Archer to be your protector.
Yes. I smiled stiffly. But on the inside there was a strange sadness that I couldn't explain. Khan was horrible to me at times. Well, most of the time, really. It shouldn't surprise me that he saw me as a burden that he wanted to get rid of. But there had been moments when I had felt like he liked having me around. I looked out the windows again, my thoughts running back over the last many weeks, to the friendly banter that amused and entertained me, and the time he won a chess game and insisted his prize should be to teach me to burp out loud, just so he could corrupt me some more. We had laughed so hard, and for a moment I'd been happy. Khan was unpolished and brutally honest, and before I came here I would have said those sides of a person were uncivilized. They were. But the truth was that I was beginning to find it a good thing that he spoke his opinion, as it made it easy for me to read him. If Khan was happy, he whistled or smiled. If he was mad, he expressed it without shame. He wasn't worried that he would upset anyone. Let's go downstairs and talk to the men about the school project, Christina suggested, and pulled me out of my ruminations. Boulder loves children. I'm sure he'll support the project any way he can. We found the men sitting outside on the staircase leading up to the entrance. They were shoulder to shoulder, and talking with somber expressions.
What are you two whispering about? Christina asked, making them both look back.
Khan got up and threw a small rock from his hand in annoyance. He walked down the stairs while Boulder stood up and reached out for Christina.
Khan and Pearl have a project they wish to discuss with you, Christina told Boulder and took his hand.
Khan shot me a glance that I couldn't interpret.
Yes, the thing is, I said and walked down the five stairs to stand on the ground closer to Khan. We are trying to find a place that will be safe enough for an experiment that we're planning.
I'm listening,
Boulder said, and pinned his piercing gray eyes on me. I licked my dry lips. We believe that any chance of a future union between our two nations would have to start with demolishing the many prejudices that exist on both sides of the borders. Therefore, we would like to bring together 20 children and raise them to form friendships and create mutual respect. 10 from each side of the border.
Really? Boulder grinned. That sounds amazing.
But as you can imagine, I continued, safety will be a major concern for us in the Council.
Of course.
Boulder's eyes flew to Khan.
Can you imagine 10 little girls running around in one place? What a glorious sight that would be.
Uh-huh.
Khan's smile didn't reach his eyes like it had the other times we'd spoken about this. Something was definitely troubling him. I was talking to Christina about your island. I spread out my hands. Are there any buildings we could turn into a school?
Let me think.
Boulder looked down in concentration, his left hand resting on his nape.
Maybe the church.
He paced in front of us.
In my work, it's big and could easily be used as a classroom. There's a side building for the congregation that could be turned into living facilities.
He stopped.
It would take work, but yeah, I think it could work.
Could we see it?
What, right now?
Boulder's eyes were glowing with excitement.
Yeah, it's just a few miles from here.
Then let's go. Christina chirped happily. Khan raised his wrist and gave a command to his security staff, who were positioned too far away to hear us speak.
Stay here. We're going for a small picnic, but we'll be back in half an hour.
A short reply came back.
Understood, Lord. We're taking your hybrid, Boulder.
Khan was already walking toward the big black thing that was twice the size of the drones we had at home. It was sleek and excessive, but now wasn't the time to discuss distribution of wealth. What do you think? I asked Khan when 5 minutes later, we walked into the old stone building. He was scanning the room with the vaulted high ceilings and stopped to stare at the large painted windows above the altar. A beam of sunlight streamed through the glass, creating a beautiful splash of color on the dusty floors.
It's big enough,
he said thoughtfully, and walked over to slide his hand down the stone wall.
But I wonder how cold it'll be in the wintertime. As I said, it needs work, but we could update it.
Boulder waved his hand.
Come on, let me show you the rest.
We saw the two offices and bathrooms before Boulder took us into the side building, which was only slightly smaller than the church. There was a kitchen, a gathering hall that could be converted into a dining hall, a supply room, and six rooms in different sizes. We would need to add shower facilities and some more bedrooms, I said. But otherwise, I think it's perfect.
Perfect?
Khan snorted.
It's a long way from perfect.
Sure, it needs cleaning, painting, and insulation.
And plumbing, and a ton of other things,
he added grumpily. It could work. I turned to Boulder, who lit up in a bright smile.
Just give me the go-ahead, and I'll get this place shining in no time.
Secretly, I reminded him.
Of course.
I'll talk to the council and explain that we now have the physical location and a suitable teacher from the Northlands who is willing to bring 10 students, I summed up. And I'll talk to Kaya about moving up here, Christina said eagerly, and rose on her toes next to Boulder while holding onto his hand and shooting him an isn't-this-amazing smile.
Kaya?
Boulder's eyes grew big.
You're Kaya?
Yes, she squealed. She's the best teacher in the world, and I would die to have her live close to me.
I'll need to approve of her,
Khan pointed out. Yes, of course, I agreed. We both do.
This is going to be fucking epic,
Boulder exclaimed and lifted Christina from the ground. Khan's lips pursed up slightly.
Don't get too excited. The council still has to find the children, and I have a hard time seeing any momsies agreeing to sending their girls here.
Leave that to me, I assured him.
Chapter 10 Enemies Khan. Slamming my fist into Finn's rib, I felt the impact vibrate up my arm. If not for our protective gear, it would have been painful for us both. The thin gloves and body armor looked like nothing, but it shielded us from broken bones and internal bleeding. "Is that all you got?" Finn grinned at me, and I was pleased to see that he was back to his normally cheerful self. "Maybe spending so much time with a momsie has made you a softie." Oof! I pushed the air out of my lungs as I put all my strength into my upper jab. Motherfucker! Finn bent over and held both hands to his face. You broke my nose! Sorry, didn't mean to do that, I said, out of breath. Don't worry, mine has been broken several times. I pulled his hands away so I could see better. Yeah, you need the bone accelerator. He wiped blood away with the back of his hand and walked over to get a towel. It fucking hurts. I know, I said. But you were the one who told me not to hold anything back. The face is off limits, you know that, you twisted fuck. He gave me the middle finger. Hey, careful, I warned. One broken nose doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful. Disrespectful? He said in an incredulous tone. What the hell is happening to you, man? Are you sure that councilwoman isn't affecting you more than you think? Soon you'll want us to speak in low, soft voices and be kind to each other. He spat blood on the floor, emphasizing how disgusted he was with the very thought. Don't be stupid, I scoffed.
I don't know, man. You've changed since Pearl came.
No, I haven't. Finn threw the towel to the floor and placed both hands on his hips.
What's the plan with her anyway? How long are you going to keep her?
I don't know. I dried sweat from my forehead. It had been a hard workout. I'm thinking about handing Pearl over to someone I trust. Both his hands flew up.
Not me. I'm still pissed over getting cursed by that first momsie you made me protect.
So who's the softie? I grinned. 5 days with a woman and you're traumatized. I've been with Pearl for 2 months, and you don't see me whining, do you?
Didn't you just say that you were considering handing her over?
Only because I need to travel.
So?
Finn shrugged.
Just take her with you.
I can't. It's too dangerous.
Nobody will touch her if we're there, and some would be impressed that you have a councilwoman under your control.
I scoffed at that comment. I would like to think I controlled her, but I'd be lying to myself. I don't control her enough to make her do my bidding yet.
But the people don't know that. They'll respect you just from seeing her stand behind you. Could you make her do that at least?
Tilting my head, I thought about it, and yes, I probably could. Finn used his forearm to brush back his sweaty hair, since his hands were both bloody from his bleeding nose.
You could still hand Pearl over to someone else if you want. That way you don't have to share your bed with her on the road.
My throat burned, and I swallowed down what felt like thick lava setting my belly on fire. He grinned a little.
If you ask nicely, I'll take her. Or you could ask Archer. I saw him the other day.
No, I barked. The thought of Archer with Pearl disturbed me deeply.
Whatever you want, man. I'll go find the bone accelerator.
Finn, I called after him when he was almost out the door.
What?
We leave tomorrow, and I want you with me. My friend broke into a huge grin, and with his face and front teeth smeared in blood, it made him look like a crazed man.
Can't wait, he said,
and tapped the door twice before he closed it. I was done being housebound because of Pearl. She would just have to come with me, because the idea of handing her over, I had died just from imagining her and Archer in the same bed. With a surge of energy from all the plans forming in my brain, I ran to Magni's room and opened all the windows to let in fresh air and light. My brother lay comatose on his belly, his arms spread out on the bed, and his head buried in a pillow. "Get up!" I kicked the bed, and it made him open an eye and grunt. "Get up!" I repeated, and tore his covers off, slamming his naked back with my palm. "Go away," he grunted, and turned on his side. "Get up, get up, get up," I shouted, and flicked my finger against his forehead. With a groan, Magni pushed up on his elbows and shook his head. "Oh, what time is it?" "Almost 11."
"Then why are you waking me?"
He yawned and swung his legs over the side of the bed. "Because I want you to get sober and ready. We're going to the East Coast."
"What?"
Magni covered his eyes as if the light hurt him.
"No, I'm not going anywhere."
That made me snap. Grabbing Magni under his arms, I yanked and pushed him into his bathroom and shoved him under the cold shower.
"Asshole!"
he shouted at me as icy water cascaded from all sides. "Are you awake now?" I shouted angrily. He scowled and gave his own command to the shower. "Turn off water and dry." He was awake. With satisfaction, I closed the shower door. It only took a minute until Magni came out, naked but clean and clearly annoyed with me. "It's time to go and beat up some assholes," I announced. He shook his head and grunted softly. "That's all I do lately, and it's getting old. I'm not interested." His rejection pissed me off, and I got in his face again. "I don't care if you're interested. It's time for you to pull your head out of your ass and do your job." "Fuck off," Magni shoved at me. "No," I shoved back. "How many times do I have to tell you Laura isn't coming back? That ship has sailed, and it's time you fucking wake up and accept it." His jaw tensed, and pain crossed his face. "Do your job," I repeated in a no-bullshit tone. "Or what?" he snarled low. "Or you might lose the rest of your family, too." "What the fuck is that supposed to mean?" "Think about it. Dad was the first ruler to pass on peacefully, and only because he had two strong sons to protect him. What do I have right now?" My voice was trembling with agitation. I'd been patient with my brother, sympathetic to his pain even, but Magni's state of mind was a danger to my position as a ruler. "Who has got my back?" I asked harshly. "Do you?"
My stare was intense and made him look away, his eyes red and puffy from sleep and what I assumed was a massive hangover. All I've got is a drunken, lovesick brother who can't get over a woman. You're a joke, man, and you make me look weak. I threw the last words accusingly at him, and he took a step back as if hit by a